And welcome to episode 10 of Oral Fix Podcast. I am Drew Brown.
I'm Henry Diaz.
And we're your hosts of Oral Fix. Oral Fix is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. Please feel free to find us on Stitcher.com and iTunes. Henry, what's up, biatch?
Oh, we're going to do this every week. Are we going to do this every week? I can't keep calling you biatch every week.
This used to happen. I can't call my boss biatch. I got to take it out on somebody else.
Oh, why don't we start off with your week?
Oh, God. I really cannot deal with the devil wears Prada situation. I'm really, I'm about to go shenanigans on this bitch. I'm about to break out the Vaseline, take out my earrings, and I'm about to cut a bitch. Oh, anyway, I can't do it. I know we're in a recession and all, and I should be happy I have a job, but I can't do it. So she better hope that she keeps it cute. But I did get to go see Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, on Broadway?
On Broadway, yes.
Nice. With who? Yeah. And did you splurge for this ticket, or?
No, it was a part of a free perk with the job, so I got to go see that, and, I went with some co-workers of mine, and, I was a big fan of the movie. I thought the movie was hilarious, but the show, quite, not so much. Like, a lot of it, some parts were really funny, but a lot of it was, a lot of their, like, big punchlines was really kind of dry. Like, there weren't these really big laughs, the punchlines weren't really strong, and I don't know. It just wasn't really good. The costumes were fabulous, and, of course, like, the music was good, but, and if they were going to be drag queens singing, like lip syncing, then you can kind of, they did a little bit of that. But when they were actually singing, some of them didn't really have the best voices. So, like, if you're actually going to be singing live, like, you should actually at least have a decent voice. So, I don't know. It wasn't really great. And it was good because it was free and I didn't have to pay for it. I would watch the movie instead.
You didn't think it was entertaining, I guess.
I guess it was entertaining, but it was entertaining, but I wouldn't recommend it. Like, if that was, like, the last thing you, if you are a Broadway junkie and that was the only thing left on to see, then yeah. But I would say see the movie and enjoy it.
Mm.
As opposed to watching the musical. But the costumes were fabulous, and a lot of costumes were, straight from the movie, so the costumes were great. But that was really it. So, I mean, that's good. And of course, maybe I am a little biased, or maybe I'm just being a little too harsh or whatever, not too biased, but a little harsh, because I'm not really a musical gay, so, but, whatever, so. But it was good. It was it was so good. And it was long. Like, it was 2 hours. I was like, oh, my God, it's like a movie.
Yeah, that's long for a Broadway play.
Yeah.
Or show, musical. So, well, I heard Spider-Man bombed pretty bad.
Well, I mean, it bombed, but, I mean, they've made a lot. They still made a lot of money, and they've done some, like, revisions of it, and, Julie Taymor, who is a director who I love, who actually did, Lion King. She directed Frida. She also did one of my favorite movies, also, Across the Universe. I think she's a real visionary as a director. She, they gave her the can. And Bono and The Edge rewrote, a lot of the music because this wasn't really cohesive and they changed the story. So it's supposed to be better than what it was, but I don't really know. But of course, I mean, you know, a lot of kids are going to want to go see it and watch Spider-Man. And so, I mean, of course, it's still probably going to make a lot of money. And it costs a lot of money to make, right? So.
Well, then.
But that's with that. And how are you?
I'm good. I just got back. I'm now home. I'm not in Long Island anymore. I'm back up in Orange County in Warwick. And I went to the beach with my friend Nandi, who she helped me at times with the makeup for not the makeup really, some of the propping and other stuff for La Chamaca, and she's also a big fan of La Chamaca, and I was with her today, and she drove me into the city. Before we went to the city, we went to the Hampton Bays and we went to the beach there, and that felt so good. I had a stiff neck this morning in the beach.
You had a stiff neck from the beach?
No, if you let me finish talking, I would tell you exactly why I got the stiff neck. I had it since this morning. And actually, I had it since yesterday, and I just, like, sort of woke up like that, and I think it was because...
What were you doing?
The air conditioner... No, don't even try it. The air conditioner was... I wish. The air conditioner, I think it was a little too close to my head, and something happened to do...
I'm sure lots of people used that excuse before.
Oh, whatever, bitch. You wish... Anyway, so we went to the Hampton Bays and we went to the beach, and it was a beautiful day for the beach, but it was really choppy, I guess, because of the storm or something. But it was beautiful, and for some reason or another, I guess being on the hot sand that and going into the water also took it away. Like, I don't have that stiff neck anymore. So that was pretty cool. And we had some really good Mexican food while we were down there, and we had great traffic coming back. You know, we came back while it was rush hour, and on the 495 on Long Island Expressway. And during rush hour, either way, you know, coming into the island or going back into the city, it is chaotic. And we had, like, the perfect traffic. Though, when I went into the subways, it was hot. And, you know, I'm bringing this up, my trip home, because... on my way, and you know, while I was in the city and waiting for my bus and trying to decide whether or not I was going to stay in the city for the day, I got cruised, like, hard, like, left and right. And I haven't been in... Oh, my God. I'm like, you know, am I made out of gold? What's going on?
You're fresh meat. You've been out of the city for a while, so you're, like, fresh meat.
You know, I guess so. I mean, like, you know, I took the train on Second Avenue, the F train, so I could get to the E, and I'm on the platform, and I saw, like, all kinds of gays. You know, the first gay that I saw, which I'll refer to at the end of the show for Back Into the Closet. But anyway, the first one that I saw, she in the subway, she was, like, sashing out of the turnstile. She was wearing, like, this whole silk outfit, like, black capris and this V-tailed silk shirt with a V collar. And it was very loose on her, like a blouse. And she had, like, a clutch, like a man purse clutch. And she was fabulous. She was, like, this Asian honey. And I was admiring him. I was like, oh, my God, you know, like, what's going on here? Like, things have changed since, like, the last... time I was here, which was probably a month ago or so. You know, she didn't cruise me, but I caught her, and I went downstairs, and you know, some other fashionable fags, like, passed by me. One which, and you know, he had, like, a zebra top. I thought he was really cute, but he had a zebra top, and his shoes were, like, these stripes that were going the opposite, you know, from they were going horizontal, the stripes, while his zebra top was going vertical. It was just really weird combination, but I dismissed it because he was just really cute, and he was a dirty blonde. And then there was this couple, these short couple, you know, one was about my height, the other one was a little shorter, and he was more like Puck-like, like from Alpha Flight, you know, hairy, and he was, you know, while his lover was playing on his iPhone, he was just, like, flirting with me, you know, batting his eyes at me, he gave me his back to stare at as he, and then he rose because it was really hot, but I think he did it on purpose. He lifted his t-shirt, so you saw his big-ass tattoo that is close to, you know, the crack of his butt, and you could see, like, the rim of his underwear, and he kept on just, like, you know, like, flashing it at me, and, you know, he didn't have a butt, but he was kind of cute, and I thought it was really cute that he was just flirting with me, and he kept on flirting with me even in, as we got into the train and got off of the same stop. It was just really wild, and it just was like that, you know, from one mass transit place to the other one. I mean, when I got onto the A train, I got cruised hard there also. I mean, there was two guys, two fags right in front of me, and both of them were just staring at me. I was like, okay, do you guys know you're staring at me both at the same time? Do you want to compete? Do you want to, like, fight over me at the same time?
Aw, you felt special.
So the other thing I noticed was that there was, you know, New York has been invaded by electronic gadgets. Everyone had an iPod everywhere that I went, and the last train I took, the A train, you know, by that point I said, let me count how many people had an electronic device they were listening to or playing around with. So by the time that I got on the train to the time I got off, which was about 3 or 4 stops, I counted about 19 people that had a nanopod, an iPod, iPhone, or Android device, and they were just, you know, all into it and playing with it. So, and when I was getting into the bus, on my way to the bus, you know, everyone was like, they had headphones on or they were into staring at their device, and I felt like I was in a movie, like, you know, a precursor to a futuristic movie, like maybe Blade Runner or something. It was really wild. And not to mention that the bus was filled with fags, and this is like you know, this was really rare because that bus is never, like, you know, sometimes there's a fag here or there, but never, like, riddled. There was, like, about 10 fags on there, and they were all cruisy, and the guy next to me had an iPad that he was playing, like, some faggy app where, like, he kept them, it was, like, a colonial setting to the game, and these women and like these big dresses were dancing around, and he had to tap on them. Every time he tapped on them, these hearts kept on bursting out, and like the screen filled with flowers.
Interesting.
Oh boy. So I had, you know, besides, you know, the week at the Hamptons and reflecting and everything, I think today was like the top. I mean, it was a nice ending to those 2 weeks out there.
All right. Well, take us on to the next segment, why don't you?
Oh, yes, I will. So, onward to Tit for Tat. And this week, audience, we have one topic that we're going to talk about, and that is defining the term or the... Yeah, the term pervert. We want to talk about, I thought it would be really interesting to really tackle this, like, you know, to tell some personal stories and kind of, you know, get into the definition of pervert and anything else in between that may follow in there. And maybe I should kick it off since I'm the one who brought it up. We have, you know, and every, you know, you straights have perverts and the gays have the perverts. And I forget, how did this come up, the pervert? It was last week's podcast. We were talking about last week's podcast, and I and Drew were kind of like hoping that you, the audience, weren't thinking that we were perverts, because when we found Matt Barker's naked picture where he's masturbating online, we kind of like gasped and ooh, ah, and goo, 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 goo over it. And, you know, it's just to clear up what a pervert is and clear up maybe our names with some of you that might think that we're perverts here, but we're actually not. We might be like really, you know, eccentric and creative and the way that we think, but we're not perverts. I mean, a pervert, to be honest, to me at least, and then we get into some definition here from what we found online, is a person who is totally living in their lizard brain, you know, the lizard brain is the brain that, you know, it's very wild, and it's always, you know, thinking about sex and or, you know, thinking about, you know, what would be the most pleasurable experience for them every minute of the day. And I think all of us have, to a certain degree or another, this lizard brain, and we all can access it, and some of us live in it like 24/7. And I for one am not one of those people. I would go crazy if I did live in that part of, you know, my brain. And to me, that's what a pervert is. You know, they can't keep their hands to themselves. They're always bringing sex up and anything, and they just, you know, and they probably have sex addictions. You know, how about you? What's your definition of a pervert?
I mean, there's a difference between being a pervert and being a freak. Like, some people can be freaky or, you know, have freak tendencies, you know? But to me, I think being a pervert seems a little, has like such a dirty connotation to it. And so I think that, you know, I think that I'll be more of a freak than I'll be like a pervert, but of course, there's always a fine line, I guess, depending on how prudish you are or what your freak meter, where you would lie. But for me, in terms of pervert, I mean, I don't really have like clear, definitely, I just think that someone who's doing something that is just really, that really crosses the line that makes people feel uncomfortable, I feel is kind of the pervert side. You know, like if you're doing something where you're staring at someone, or if you say something to someone, or if you're doing any type of an act that makes someone, so this is at least to me, and it's usually sexual in nature, that's kind of seems a little perverted, it seems kind of like creepy and disturbing. And I never had a lot of like gay run-ins with the idea, you know, with people being perverts. It's, you know, I mean, we're all a little freaky, right? But there is this one group of people who I am always very weary over. So there's actually two group of people.
Okay.
One are Hasidic men.
Oh. Here we go again, folks. Drew's bringing up the Hasidics. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Did I bring them up before?
Well, yeah. Internet dating, that podcast number four, I believe. No, that was porn talk.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't know if I brought up the fact that I, you know, lived in Dumbo. Did I tell the story? I don't know if I told the story.
But, oh, do tell. I don't remember Dumbo.
I used to live in Dumbo, Brooklyn, and I was part of a queer collective, and the house that I moved into, before I moved in, a friend of mine moved in first, and then I moved in later, but when the house, we allowed other queer artists to use the space, it was a huge loft space, and we would have people, we would use it for photo exhibits, to punk rock shows, to whatever queer artists wanted to do, who couldn't afford, they would be able to utilize the space. Anyway, but what the house was famous for was this annual sex party that the residents, the people living there, would throw. And it was written up in the Village Voice and all that stuff. So anyway, so the year that, when I lived there, the year that with our turn to do it, we did it. And the movie, if you watch the movie Short Bus, actually this whole sex scene took place in the house where I used to live. And so it's kind of like that used to happen. So the movie is kind of like a take on what we used to do. But anyway.
Okay.
And it's Short Bus. Anyway, but the Hasidic men, I don't know how they will find out about the party, they would show up and they would just kind of pray in the corner. And then they would just kind of creepily watch. They wouldn't really initiate anything or do anything, but they would just kind of be there. And then it was really creepy. And then sometimes you would see them engage and with other people. But mind you, they're in like full garb. So they have the hat, the curls, everything. The white button down and the black pants.
Really? I mean,
the whole thing, yes. Very creepy. And so that to me is like, they just seem a little beyond the whole line. They cross the line of freak. They seem a little perverted. And
well,
sexually, oppressed, you know? I don't know.
Well, but, that's, I don't, okay, go ahead.
I don't know. This is the way that they were in this situation. It wasn't. Yeah, of course they obviously stood out, because of what they were wearing. So that wasn't really the issue. It was just kind of how they were. Like they didn't really. They weren't just kind of going with the flow. They were just kind of just waiting for their time to like really pounce, a little bit. And then they were so it was like really kind of weird and it was creepy. And it would kind of like really change the energy in the room when they would show up. Because everyone is feeling, and then it was kind of like almost like the record switch with skip. Because then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, what is the Hasidic Jew doing here? Like, I don't know. It was really weird. So, I don't know.
Well, it says here, according to dictionary.com, it says here, pervert, a person whose sexual behavior is regarded as abnormal and unacceptable. So I guess these guys would probably, fall into that definition.
They were just a little creepy. I think, I think anything that's, yes, we all have our moments where we, unleash our, let go of our inhibitions and be a little freaky. But if you, creepy, I don't know, to me this seems a little weird.
Well, yeah, they're still dressed up in their garbs and stuff, and if they're dressed up in their robes and their furry hats, that's even more weird, I would think. I mean, that's, like, really freaky. I've seen them in some clubs. I think it was, like, in Hatfield when it was open. I don't know if it's still open out in Queens. And they wouldn't come in, like, in their robes, but they had their, their yarmulkes on. And they had their white shirts on, and they had, like, their prayer tassels on their waist. And they were drinking. They were partaking of the whole, like, experience, actually. They weren't, like, just huddled somewhere. And it was definitely, like, it's like, if you live near a community of Mormons, and all of a sudden Mormons were in the gay bar, you're like, what? Culture shock?
Yeah, definitely. And I understand that, like, it's a whole, like, big cultural difference. And, and I think that, of course, there's the whole thing of us talking about, a lot of people think, we're gay because we're perverts and all that stuff. But, it's not the case, I mean, there was between being freaky and just being horny men as opposed to being pervert. But I think anything that you do, for me, and that's what goes back to when you make someone feel uncomfortable, that's when it crosses the line from being just kind of like a sexual thing and you're feeling it, then just being like a perverted kind of dirty, nasty thing. When that's where it's like, who knows, And when they would show up and they're just there and you're like, what are you doing here? How did you get this? And like, how did you know we were having this party? Like, everyone was welcome. So, it was great that they showed up. It wasn't a big deal. But, and I also had this one time, one of my roommates, she was a lesbian and she was the editor for a kind of like Next magazine, HX magazine, Guy for Lesbians. And mm-hmm. they had like a party, so we all went, and all my roommates were all like, you know, dancing, and you know, we're all like, you know, most we were drunk, so we were all like, you know, whatever. But we were acting a fool, and then all of a sudden, we turn around, and there was an Hasidic man, a man, like just like standing there, and you're like, what is he doing in here? There's nothing but lesbians, and like a few good of gay men, and us, you know, and you're like, what is he? How did he let him in? Like, it was just really weird. It was really, really weird. And
what if they were there without being like, you know, formally dressed like they usually are, and they were with their yarmulkes and their curls.
I don't think it matters, because I think anyone that is kind of, you know, is standing off in the corner and just like standing there staring at you, watching, and just makes you feel uncomfortable, you know? Mm-hmm. It kind of like, because regardless of what they were wearing, of course you're going to notice it more because of what they were wearing, because of their outfit, because of his outfit, but the fact that he's just kind of standing there and just kind of watching you, and not in a way of like, hey, what's going on, but in a way of like, I want to, God knows what I want to do to you. It just was really kind of freaky, and it takes you out of your element, because all of a sudden you're having fun and you're doing it, you're enjoying yourself, and then for a quick second you blink, and then you see this guy just watching you the whole time. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I ran into another definition here online. It's about a pervert, and it says here, perversion. It says here, misdirected, corrupted behavior. And another one says, sexually dysfunctional, someone who's perverted. Perversion, a sexual drive component that fails to come under the dominance of the genitalia area and its reproductive needs, and instead focuses on some non-reproductive object or aim. So,
okay. One thing that I'll put in the show notes is I found this link where you can pick the pervert or the like sex offender or like drug. Not like to pick the pervert. Or it's called pick the pervert, but you can pick them or the substance abuse person. So either they're on drugs or they're a pervert. I don't know, whatever. And you get to pick them based on their picture.
Yeah, I didn't. It's like a quiz, and I didn't really take it yet. It's kind of creepy within itself, the quiz.
It is kind of creepy because they're looking at you, and it's kind of like a mugshot, and you're just kind of like going through it, and you're like, oh, this is kind of gross. I mean, I did a little bit of it, and I got, you know, I was getting most of it right, but then there was a few that, you know, I was getting wrong, but, you know, it's kind of... You're picking the lesser of evils, I guess, you know? But, you know, I mean, I guess for me, I don't care what people do, or express yourself how you want and to do what you want. I don't think sex is perverted. I think it's all relative, you know? People can call what I do with my partner, they can say that I'm perverted because, you know, we have anal sex or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah, that's what I was going to, yeah, go ahead.
So to me, I think it's really about the feeling, and it's really about, you know, I don't really care what you're into or what have you, but I think, you know, you just have to be mindful of how your actions or even what you say might cross the line of making someone feel uncomfortable, or it just seems like, yeah, okay, you want to unleash your inner freak, but not everybody thinks the way you do, not everyone is going to receive what you're, you know, putting out there the same way,
no.
So you got to be a little bit careful, and so that's my only thing. But I mean, all in all, I think, you know, I don't really sex to me, there are things that I'm not into, like I don't want to get fisted, but, you know, hey, I don't, to me, it's not like, oh, if that's what someone wants to do, it's not like, oh God, you're a big pervert, you're a freak, you're nasty, you're disgusting. Like I'm not that judgmental. So I just think it's more about at least for me, it's more of the feeling versus the actual sexual act, if that makes sense.
No, that does. It totally does. And you touched on something there, you know, about you and your boyfriend, and, you know, if you guys were doing something sexually that you disclosed to somebody, and, you know, they're going to think of you perverted for doing that. It's that whole judgment there. You know, other people can have their own definitions of perversion and a pervert. And most people that are homophobic think that it's a perversion, it's a sexual perversion that we have, you know, besides a malady. And, you know, everyone has, you know, a sexuality, you know, and that sexuality, as I said in previous podcasts, and I will continue to say this, is that, you know, your sexuality is the seed of your power, your spirit. So, you know, holding that true and that being like the core, you know, besides your heart, and being that, you know, the one of the foundations of your character and just who you are and what makes you, then, you know, you have the freedom to express yourself the way that you want to, but again, you, like Drew was saying, you have to edit yourself. But, you know, when do you edit yourself, and what's not proper, what's not, you know, what brings you to the point of perversion? And as we've been outlining, it's that crossing that border, you know, and that boundary that it's
exactly.
Where you're actually, you know, making the other person feel uncomfortable. And be it, you know, I mean, if it's somebody who's homophobic, you know, they don't understand that. I mean, and sometimes I feel that the word perversion was made like by some Puritan who looked down on sex, you know.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes because, you know, at least in the media and, you know, constantly and people, you know, at weddings and all these protests and stuff like that about, you see the signs about, you know, that gays are perverts and we're going to hell and all this stuff. After a while, you get, to, you know, even though no matter how confident you are or whatever, it does affect you in a way, you know. And I know when I'm around straight men, I don't know how you are, but I find myself a little bit more cautious because I don't want them to think that, like, I want them or I'm, like, hitting on them or I'm doing, you know, whatever, because I don't want them to think that that's a me.
Will you date a pervert?
You know? Would I date a pervert? I don't think
if you
I
knew,
would,
like, let's say, like, after the second or third date, you know, you knew that,
no,
I mean, actually,
I mean,
after
I
the first date,
I
you
think,
were like,
yeah, no, I don't think I could, because I don't think that he and I sexually would be a good match. Like, he would probably want to do things that I would not be into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think, no, we wouldn't be a good match. Like, I freaky, yeah, but then don't cross, you know, like, in, there's a line. There's a line.
Wait, is freaky to you, like, kinky, or?
Freaky to me, I mean, I'm open to
because
things.
There's a lot of freaks out there that are actually perverts.
Yes, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't, I mean, yes, probably. I mean, again, there's a very thin line, but I don't think that I don't think I could do it because I don't know if sexually we will want the same things.
Right, okay.
You might be into things that, like, I just physically am not going to do.
Hmm. Well, I asked that because
And also, if he's making me feel a way about it, if I feel uncomfortable about what he's, you know, but I think you would. I don't think you can. I don't really think that you can. Like someone being into S&M or that kind of thing, I don't really find that like a pervert or whatever. You know, that's a fetish, so whatever. I don't really define that like something. But you know, I think you would if I was with a pervert, I would know that I was with a pervert. You could just tell. He would look creepy. He would give you that vibe. So
I don't think so. I've been out with a lot of gorgeous men who were perverts. And that's why
I would not.
And it's funny because, like, you know, there are geeks out there also who don't tend to be really gorgeous, and nerds, and they're really pervert. I mean, like, they have like.
I do have to say I do judge them a little bit. When I see like a person who looks like they played Dungeons and Dragons, I think, I'm like, oh God, I would not want to look on his computer. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, there would be all kinds of like nasty, skanky, horrible stuff on there. You know, like,
well, that's
just like.
Yeah, I have somebody who, you know, one of my close friends, I have to tell you, he's a pervert. I, you know, he would hit on me, like, every opportunity he would get. Like, you know, he couldn't stop, like, bringing up sex every other hour in our time together. And, I fixed his computer one time, and his computer was, like, riddled with porn. And then I found child pornography there. Like, you know, kids, but you could tell, like, they were, like, 12 years old, like 13, like nude.
Okay.
And I was like, dude,
yeah.
I was like, why do you have this in here? And I felt gross. Like that, at that point, you know, I was like, this guy's total pervert. He really needs, like, I even sat him down and I talked to him about it. I was like, you know, he had me fix his computer because I had a virus. And then he had me also, get a lock on so that he can save his stash of pictures. You know, he had
wow.
You know, like all type of guys under the sun there, you know. And it was disgusting to me that I saw kid porn in there, and he was like the last person I would think, like, you know, that crosses the boundary for me. I mean,
absolutely,
you know, there might be people out there who's listening to us that believes in man boy love, and you know, God bless you, but you know, to me, that makes me really uncomfortable. I don't understand that, and, you know, it is what it is, but that's perversion to me.
I don't get that. Yeah, no, that's definitely perversion to me, and I don't think that you can, I mean, if you are manipulating someone into sex or being whatever, and someone who cannot make, you know...
Yeah, you're forcing yourself onto the other guy? Oh, my God.
That's you're a pervert. Then you're a pervert. That's not being a freak. That's not like, oh, I like to be tied up, or I want a golden shower. You know, like
you're dropping a Mickey in somebody's drink or something. You know,
exactly. those are things like, and you're,
it's like taking advantage of somebody who's drunk
and putting people in your basement. Like that's not cool.
No,
not cool at all. So I don't know.
Before we wrap it up, can I go over, like, I found, which I'm going to link to a show notes, I found online 13 historically important people who were deemed perverts in our life.
Oh, okay. Everyone.
Yeah. So, coming in...
the Marquis de Sade. Oh, is he on there?
Who?
The Marquis de Sade.
Oh, I think so. Yes, Marquis de Sade is the number one. And
there's a great movie. There's a great movie called Quills. It's brilliant. It's with Jeffrey Rush. He plays the Marquis de Sade. Kate Winslet is in it, as well as I'm trying to remember, and Josephine, who is also very fine, is in it as well. No, Joaquin Phoenix. No,
ooh, Joaquin Phoenix, really?
It's Joaquin Phoenix, isn't it?
I love Joaquin Phoenix.
It is a brilliant, 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 brilliant movie. I love it. I loved it.
I have to see if it's on Netflix. So the second one that comes in, okay, So the second one we have here is Aleister Crowley. And I don't know if you know who Aleister Crowley is, but I do, because Rosalisa, who I'm working for, who's the High Priestess Psychic Witch, who I'm working for at the Ren Faire, which is this Saturday, she studied under him before he passed away. And he was a real big warlock, yeah. He was in the 60s and 70s, renowned for his practices and introducing new laws of sexual magic. He was big on sexual magic. But he, it says here, why is he famous for being perverted? Well, Crowley not only founded religion based on magic, he also founded something called sex magic. No, this wasn't discovered by the Red Hot Chili Peppers or Sting, which is basically just using orgasms and or arousal and sometimes fluids as part of his spell, That's the class, that Hogwarts doesn't teach until the last year. So, and then goes on to actually, you know, giving you more insights on why, you know, all the perverted things he would do. But it says here, everyone have sex whenever you want. This is what he would say, and do what feels right. Go nuts, kids. And in about 70 years, listen to Kiss. Okay. So coming in number 3, we have Sigmund Freud. Coming in number 4, James Joyce. Now this one really, it was interesting to me. Number 5 was Gandhi.
Really?
Yes. And it says here, so why is he a pervert? Well, it says here, it must be easy to be a poor man, but a chaste man? No way. Gandhi found out the hard way that believing sex is bad only ends up being bad for you. After he left his father's deathbed to have sex with his wife in the next room while his father died, he vowed since then celibacy. And then goes on to talk about more of his sexual misgivings. Yeah, this is really interesting. It's it was put up on Ranker.com. Number 6 is Henry VIII. Then number 7, Caligula, which we all know.
I saw that movie when I was like way too young, and I was like, oh my god.
It says here, Jack Parsons, who I really don't know. Number 9 is Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and I love the movie Mozart. I'm Amadeus. We all know that Mozart was definitely a perv.
Amadeus.
Coming in at number 11 is Albert Einstein, and I've heard a lot of stories about him being a perv and having.
He looked like a perv.
Well, he was known to bring in ladies even when his wife being at home, and he would like wake her up. In the middle of the night, he will come in drunk with like these women, and he will have sex there in his home while his wife was sleeping upstairs, and she would catch him. Like, yeah. Coming in at number 13, Benjamin Franklin, and I was like, okay, what's he known for?
Well,
and
it says here, he was having sex with all those slaves.
Ooh, shade. Well, it says here, he liked women as mistresses. He was really into it, and he also got around quite a bit and was pretty darn liberal for his time. I've heard from other people that he was really into S&M, like being into that whole scene and bondage and torturing women. It doesn't really says that here, but it does go into saying the entire time he still vows that marriage is a much more positive and beneficial union, but he offers no reasoning and instead offers proof on why old women are sexy like this. Because through more experience, they are more prudent and discreet in conducting an intrigue to prevent suspicion. Only what is below the girdle is impossible of two women to know an old from a young one. Okay, that is like really Okay, I don't know where this was quoted. It says this quote basically lets you know that he was a pimp daddy and with women of all ages. So he really liked to talk about his women. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure they can read all about it in the show notes and see
okay.
the people on there.
So everyone, look at the show notes for this section of our podcast, and you know, if you have any comments or you have your own versions of your definition of a pervert or a perversion, please, or any comments on what we said, please let us know. And we're going to leave you off with some music, and we'll see you after the break. I believe I hear La Chamaca is up next.
La Chamaca is.
Enjoy. Introduction.
Did you like the introduction?
Well, no one pulls a bull by the horns. You pull him by the nose.
Okay. I see you have the same sense of humor as Henry. Funny. Anyway, Dr. Marco, well, welcome to Oral Fix. And Henry mysteriously is not going to be here. So it's just me and you. And I'm going to ask you some questions and fire away. And just right
please
off the top
do.
Of your head, just whatever
don't hurt me,
your mind.
Please.
So, La Chamaca, the first question.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your theme song?
What would be my theme song? Let's see. Laverne and Shirley. La Beatles. La Bottle. Slasa Mishu and Incorporated. Yeah, I think that or the themes, something like the Star Trek. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's funny that you're also attracted just like Henry. What a surprise. Okay.
Well, I like nice and shiny things in the and yeah, I like nice shiny things.
Okay. Well, speaking of nice and shiny things, moving on to the second question. Have you ever done the Walk of Shame, Latimaka? Have you ever done that?
Excuse me? The Walk of Shame? I have nothing to be ashamed about, okay?
Okay,
no, honey, don't go there, because La Chamaca, she's an open book, okay?
Okay.
Explain to me, the Walk of Shame. Because I walk it like a lady. If you want to know how La Chamaca walk, I show you how La Chamaca walk. But La Chamaca is no shame. No shame.
The Walk of Shame, La Chamaca, is if you meet a guy out and you go over to his place and you don't stay the whole night, or you can wake up in the morning and you have to go home and you're in your same outfit and you're taking, you know, public transportation or however it is to get home, and that's the Walk of Shame.
Oh, you're talking the about academy. Like one of those sopas, like, you know, una sopa de la una campesina, like a hillbilly. Yeah, no, La Chamaca never do that. No, honey, I have class, okay?
Okay, you're a lady.
I can show you how to dress. I am a... No, I know, dude. No, Nick.
Okay, all right. So, Elijah Marco, what is one word that best describes you?
Magnificent.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Magnificent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Maravillosa. I love Maravillosa, too. Can I have two words, please?
You can have whatever you want. The next question is, La Chamaca, tell us when and also tell us how it was, but tell us about your first kiss.
Oh, my first kiss. See, Pedro. Ay, ay, ay. When I was a little girl, my father, he liked to play the mariachi music mucho and a lot. And he used to play Pedro Fernandez, and he had his mariachi sombrero that used to hang on the wall of our living room. And when he was feeling good, he used to drink a beer with his friends, and his friends would come over with their girlfriends, and everybody was singing mariachi, and it was always Pedro Fernandez. And one day I looked at the record cover, and I saw Pedro Fernandez, and he was a tall, big shoulders, big chest man with a nice mustache, and I don't know what happened, but it was like a magnet in my lips, and I got all hot and warm,
did you get warm down there?
If you must know, it was all over my body. I was a little girl. I must have gone puberty. I was 10, 11, you know. And I was getting hair in my beard, actually. It was growing around that time. And I kissed Pedro. Yes, that was my first kiss.
And was it a good kiss?
Oh, he was a little cold, but I didn't care. He was a little stale too. There was no thought. It was.
You like your kisses with some adobo, don't you?
My boyfriend now, Alejandro, he's a good kisser. The only thing is that man is a little hairy too. Like, he's hairy everywhere. And sometimes his hair gets stuck in my throat. So if you see my video, sometimes you see I choke a little bit. And that's because sometimes...
You're coughing up one now?
Oh, it's he's a very demanding man. And he likes to kiss, he likes to hold me every day, every hour of the day.
Well, you're a lucky lady.
More ways than one, Mr.
Okay, the next question, Lashawanka. Does your milkshake bring all the boys to the yard?
You mean like a...
You know, when you shake it like a dish. Obviously it brought Alejandro, you know, around. So you must have, but before Alejandro, did your milkshake bring all the boys to the yard like the song?
Well, I only sing in church. So when a lady sings in church, everybody listens, even the priest.
But do you know what a milkshake is?
I think so. Like, if you go to McDonald's and you order a milkshake.
Not that type of milkshake, Lachamaka. We're talking about like your milkshake, when you shake your booty, when you're dancing.
Oh, like a iri chakong, I see.
Like a
coochie coochie coochie. No, me coochie, no, you cannot, no. Me coochie, yeah. Everybody wants to know what's underneath there. But I say no. Only Alejandro knows what's on there.
So your milkshake does bring all the boys to the yard, or no?
Oh, si, senor. If you go to Henry M. Diaz's Flickr account, you see a lot of boys there talk about wanting to get to know me. But I'm not a single lady no more.
Oh, that's right. He put a ring on it.
He put a ring on it, baby, and not a cock ring, okay? Because a chamaca don't have a penis like Lady Gaga.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to have you on our 10th episode. Tell everyone where they can find you, and if they want to know more about you, please tell us.
Well, you can find my videos La Chamaca in el YouTube. If you just put in La Chamaca, Hedy public announcement, or you can go to Facebook, www.facebook.com/LaChamacaNumero1. La Chamaca, the number one. Me, La Chamaca is number one. You could do a Google too, and you could find Henry M. Diaz Flickr account, or you can go to his website, www.henrymdiaz.com. Now, I must make a couple of words here. Me, La Chamaca, I have a boyfriend. He's just a boyfriend. cool. And I do not do the whole hookah thing, but, you know, when it comes to my art, my music, my show, and my pictures, I would like some donations because I'm a very, very poor girl. It's very tough for a girl like me to make it out in the world. Even though I'm famous, I do need your support. So go ahead, you know, look me up on YouTube, look me up on Facebook. Click the like because I like everybody. And if you don't like me, then, you know, ha ha ha, the joke's on you. Okay?
Okay. All right, Lata Mata. Well, thank you so much for coming by Oral Fix, and we really appreciate everything.
Oh, thank you. I wish to come back, if you let me come back.
Of course. You're welcome anytime. So we're going to go and leave you with some music, and when we come back, we're going to be throwing some things back into the closet, so stay tuned.
Welcome back. That was HTRK, Eat Your Heart, and that was an interesting track. It was kind of like a little gothic, melodic, something different here. But cool. All right, so we're going to go into throwing things back into the closet, and this is the section where we throw things in that does not belong in our gay community anymore, that belongs inside a closet, or it never should have came out of the closet. People, places, and things, and terms, and whatever it is. So this week, Drew and I do have items that we would like to throw back into the closet. So without ado, Drew, do you want to start, or should we do rock, paper, scissors?
I'll start. I was, you know, trying to find, you know, something, and I, you know, it really pisses me off when people think that being gay is a choice, and they say that they've been reformed. Oh. And so I want to throw in all of the reformed gays, quote unquote reformed gays, because I don't think for me, being gay is not a choice. It's not something that you choose. And I don't think that you can go through, you know, some camp somewhere and just kind of, they have the magic potion to take away your gay or your lesbianism or what have you. And I think that, you know, if you don't want, I understand that being gay is hard for people to come out and whatever, but if you don't appreciate to yourself and who you are, and to also see that it's not just about the community out at large, you know, maybe you're not going to find everything or maybe find yourself as a representative of the community, but it doesn't necessarily mean that or that you need help. And so, and if you feel that way, if you feel like you can get treatment and you don't have any urges, then go back into the closet. We don't want to.
Well, so. It's kind of interesting that you're throwing this into the closet, and you know, it's, well, I find it interesting, one, because reformed gays are like practically going back into the closet. You don't need to throw them in the closet.
No, exactly. But you know, it's like, the thing is that they are not really, yes, but the thing is, like, I want to, they just need to stay in, well, one, I don't think there's a such thing as a reformed gay, and two, it's, if you claiming that you're not gay or what have you, they, you know, don't try to, you know, don't, I don't, I just think that they try to spit, you know, whatever brainwashed stuff that, you know, to other people and try to brainwash others. And it's just, I don't want to hear them. I don't think it's a choice. I think they should just be thrown back in the closet and just forget about them. Okay, you can now be straight, but I don't want to have to hear from you.
Okay.
You can just zip it.
Well, my second question here.
And I don't think that they're reformed, and because they are, if you're going to be reformed, then be reformed. Don't try to. You can't dibble and dabble when you want to.
I agree.
What I'm saying?
I agree. I totally agree. Like, you know,
so,
like,
be honest with yourself, and
you know, spit it out, or you know, just go away. You know, just stay in the closet.
Exactly.
Don't try to break down the doors back out and. Because you're miserable and you need, you know, all gays to be inside your closet.
Exactly. So just stay in there. So, I mean, it's not
what made you, what?
It's just kind of keeping them in there. What were you going to ask?
What drove you to this decision? Like, did something, like, during the week kind of, like...
Nothing during the week. It's just one of those things of, you know, I think it's... You know, it does, you know, kind of...
Because I never come in contact with any reformed gays. Never.
I don't come into contact. Well, I mean, especially not in New York, but...
I have one straight friend that has, like, supposedly a recovered gay friend who she known them for all her life to suck dick all the time and to have, like, promiscuous sex all the time. And he, like, sounded like led a life of a pervert. But... He found God somewhere, and he married a woman, she says to me. And she always brings him up, like, this is, see, Henry, this is something you can do with your life. And I had to stop talking to her. And, like, that's, like, one friend I had to, like, take off my Facebook friends list. Yeah, it was like, you know, and then she would try to play off the card, like, you know, I'm a friend of the gays. I have a sister who's gay, and she has a partner, and I accept them. And I'm like,
yeah, exactly. And that's why they need to be kind of buried in the closet, because it's not one thing of, you know, I think they're kind of put on this, there's always the one, you know, the straight friend will always prance them around and it's like, see, it happened to them, it can happen to you or whatever. And it's like, just stay in the closet and don't try and come out, and, you know, when you want to, just stay there. Don't try to, you know, for show and tell for your straight friends to try and convince other gays who are happy being gay, and try to convince us otherwise, because it's not going to happen. So you should just go back in the closet and stay, and that's that.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll throw away a lock them back into the closet, so hopefully they'll stay in there and not try to come barging at us like some Jason freak from Friday the 13th and try to rape us. Anyway, what I'm throwing back into the closet this week is something that was brought to my attention as I was walking through New York today, actually in the subway, man purses. Now, you know, I mentioned that one guy that I saw before I entered the subway, and she was walking out of, you know, the turnstile, and she was looking all fly and fine, and she had, like, a man purse, which is a form of mad purse, which is a clutch. And a clutch purse. And, you know, he looked fly. He was over. He had his outfit together, his hair done. He looked good. And he had his accessory, which was a man purse, but in the form of a clutch. So I was like, oh, you know, work a girl. You know, I've seen plenty of guys who've had man purses, and most guys that are fashionable or have some fashion sense, they could rock a man purse. Now, this one guy that I saw on the train, it just made me think otherwise. The last guy that I saw, I mean, I don't know, is this a new trend in the city or something? I mean, these are like actual man purses. I mean, like this purse, this was a big overgrown guy who had all this gold jewelry around him, like Guido-like jewelry. He was wearing a suit, and he definitely looked like he was coming out of Wall Street. And he was wearing, I mean, he had this man purse that he was holding on to, and he was, to his dear life, it was so tiny, you know, like a one of those one little thick-strapped bell-like shaped purses. And it wasn't really like a man purse. It was more like a purse, like a some, you know, club girl purse.
So was it like a clutch, or was it?
No,
like
it wasn't a clutch. It had a strap, and it was a 1-inch strap, and it was a very short strap. Okay, which he fit his arm through, and he was holding on to his dear life on the train with one hand, and the other hand was free, and he was holding, you know. It just, I was like, no, you know, this type of purse has to go. I mean, you guys need to, like, you know, you're caring. I mean, this is just too much. You know, you guys, you know, you and your man purse has to go into the closet. I mean, you do not belong out of the closet. I mean, okay, maybe I should reword this. Ugly, fugly man purses should go back into the closet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a cute purse. It was a cute purse that some girl could have rocked, but he was not rocking it. I mean, come on.
Okay, so then, because I was about to say, because I have what we consider a, almost like a, I lose a lot of things all the time. Like, I would go out and, you know, I would lose my cell phone, or I would lose my keys, or I would lose things, so... But you don't want to carry too big of a bag or whatever. So I got this small bag. Well, it's not really a bag. It's more like the way you hold it is almost like a clutch. It's for men. It's by Helmut Lang though, and it has like all these like little pockets, and you can put your cell phone, your keys, and ID, and what have you. And it's cute. So. You know, I think, you know, I wouldn't want to throw that in the closet.
Okay, so, I'm sorry.
So, but tacky one. I would not want to throw that. I wouldn't want to
throw tacky
my
man purses. So that's what we should throw in the closet. Tacky man purses. Period.
Tacky man purses. Okay.
Or tacky men who wear these man purses. Because the purse was cute, but he was just tacky. I mean, it wasn't fitted for him. He was not, you know, whatever he was wearing was not, it was clashing. It was like, it was too small for him. He had this big arm. He, you know, it was this husky guy. And so it was like, I don't know. So tacky men who wear man purses. Well, tacky. Because it wasn't a tacky man, you know, it wasn't a tacky purse, but it was just the guy that made it look tacky because it wasn't suited for him.
Okay. All right.
No,
In the closet you go.
In the closet you go, you tacky man purse dude, whatever. All right.
Okay. And on that note, we are going to wrap up our 10th episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. So, as usual, just want to make a few announcements. You can reach us and you can contact us by your email at oralfixpodcast@gmail.com. Please feel free to give us a call at 646-504-3491. Please send us your emails, your questions, your feedbacks, your suggestions, thoughts, what have you. Please you know, every day pretty much we post things on our blog, so you can visit our blogspot at allfixpodcast.blogspot.com and look for us on Twitter and on Facebook. On Twitter, you can find us at allfixpodcast, and on Facebook, you can find us as Facebook.com/TheAllFixPodcast. So please contact us. We want to hear from you as much as possible. So that's that. So that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
No, not really. I do wish that we had more feedback from people. We got one feedback on our blog, and that was because I cursed out the whole Snow White movie that's coming out with Kristen Stewart in it and Charlize Theron.
I said that
there was no dwarves in the movie, and I practically was cursing on the blog. This one girl, she wrote, dude, what are you saying? They're going to be 8 dwarves, and one of them gets killed. And it was all over Comic-Con, and I didn't remember reading that. You know, I just went with what was on the IMBD.com, thing, and it wasn't much. They didn't say anything about dwarves, and there was no casting for dwarves. So I don't know where she was coming from, but it was interesting that we got that feedback, and I would love to hear more feedback like that, especially on our Facebook fan page. It just looks like we're spitting out news all the time, and which I don't mind doing, but it'll be cute to see some interaction there. And anyway, one thing I'm going to throw out there, we do have 2 invites to Google Music. So anybody who's into uploading their music into the iCloud, please send us an email if you're interested, and we'll give it to the first 2 people that sign up, that actually send us an email and want those invites. And we also have Google Plus invites, so we're also on Google Plus. So if you're on Google Plus, look us up, put us on your circle. And if you want to invite to Google Plus, please email us as well. You can email us oralfixpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll make sure to send you out an invite. We have several more left. We only had a couple people who really requested and sent emails about getting invites after we had posted the invitations on our blog. So there you have it. I hope everyone has a good week and enjoy this episode. And number 11 is next week.
Exactly. So, and also visit our widget, our Amazon store. Please feel free to check out what's there and, purchase any of the things that are in there, because by doing so also goes to support the podcast. So please do that. Okay, so on that note, we are going to say goodbye, but we're going to leave you with some music, of course. And this is Gaddafi.
Gaddafi.
And this is Gaddafi. That's what
I said. Not Gaddafi.
No, I said Gaddafi.
Gaddafi, not Gaddafi. It sounds like you're saying Gaddafi. Sounds like you're saying Gaddafi.
No. Do you want to say it?
The musical group is called Kazaki, and the name of the song is I'm Just a Dancer, the TK remix.
This is the TK Dance Love remix. Okay, get it correct.
That's right. All right,
Biatch. All right, so from one Biatch to another Biatch, have a great week, and until next time, we will talk to you soon. Enjoy. Yeah, baby.
yeah, baby. Baby.